Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for tuning in once again. I'm Neil Statham. It's always good to get together with you. And we enjoy the conversations we have each day here on Faith Radio. Our goal to look for ways we can apply biblical principles to daily life or to view life from a Christian worldview. What does that look like? And I always have guests that have a lot to say and teach us, and so we look forward to learning a lot today. Ted Ross at the controls, and Ted, our lead question today is the title of a blog post written by our guest: "Are single people the lepers of today's church?"
Wow, it sounds pretty harsh.
Yeah, it does. So we'll find out about that. But you know, there are the well-meaning ladies who ask you about your husband and your children, and when you say you don't have any, suddenly run out of things to say to you. So.
Or it's even worse, maybe, hey, I know somebody that you should meet.
That's right, yes. So yeah. We'll talk about that and more with our guest today here in Connecting Faith. And by the way, we're going to talk singles and the church. And I do want to just mention that we've got a wonderful study Bible, particularly for women, that we're giving away this month. We do a study Bible giveaway drawing each month. And this month it's featuring the study notes of Joe Briscoe and daily devotions. And if you go to our website at myfaithradio.com, you can sign up for that, and we recommend that you do. It'd be just a great resource, and we give one away free each month, and it could just as well be to you. So thanks for tuning in today. Let's meet today's guest. Gina D'Alfonso is editor of Breakpoint.org. It's a project of the Colson Center, founded by Chuck Colson, and she's also the founder and editor of Dickens Blog. It's a blog about Charles Dickens. And Gina has written for Christianity Today, The Atlantic, The Weekly Standard, National Review, and First Things, Guideposts, and a number of other publications nationally as well as newspapers as well. Currently working on a book about singleness in the church, and in her occasional spare moments, she reads, plays piano, gardens, dances, and makes jewelry. And I don't know if we can get to all of those topics today, Gina, but we are just honored to have you with us here in Connecting Faith.
Thanks so much for having me.
So today I want to talk a little bit about that conversation that you had not long ago. Are single people the lepers of today's church? And we said, in an age of rising singlehood, many churches still focused on being family ministry centers. I was just curious, you talk about those well-meaning ladies that when you find out you're single don't have anything to say, but so I guess maybe the first question is, if the ladies are indeed well-meaning, then are you just easily offended? I mean,
well, I hope not. I try not to be. What happens sometimes is that, and a lot of singles who go to church will have stories like this for you. What happens is that people are so used to thinking of everybody in terms of marriage and family that when you explain to them that you're single, it's like they almost don't have a way to think about you. It's like a new paradigm, and they have to take time, they have to adjust, they have to get used to seeing you in that way. So I say well-intentioned because obviously there's no malice there.
Sure.
There's no unkindness there. There's just a lack of experience, maybe. They're not used to that.
Because there are, women's Bible studies, but scheduled on weekday mornings, right? Because
exactly.
Yeah, so the ones that are staying home can go to those, but not really everybody else. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, talk about maybe just in terms of, thinking budgets and priorities. Does family ministry maybe make the most sense in terms of the church? I mean, where their priorities should be? I mean, can they reach the most people? And you just sort of get grafted in.
Well, family ministry is obviously very important. I mean, families need that support, and they deserve that support from their church, and it's a good thing. What I would say is that singles also need support. Now, it's easy for me to talk like this because I'm not the one responsible for allocating resources and taking care of budgets and things like that. So we can talk about this in theory. Obviously, it has to be worked out in practice. It has to be implemented by the people who are in charge of those things. But I think if we could get used to thinking of marriage as a good thing and singleness as maybe just a different kind of a good thing, then we would find that we could maybe use those resources more responsibly, and we could find ways to support everybody.
You know, say a little bit more about, and I'm interested in hearing a bit about your story and maybe the kinds of stories you hear about related to singles ministries in the church. I mean, we're talking, obviously there's a lot of focus on family, but the, you know, many churches have some sort of singles ministries. What are they missing, maybe, in your opinion?
Well, I think singles ministries can be a good thing. I personally never was one to go to singles ministries a lot, just because I felt like I belonged in the wider church, the mainstream church. And that right there signals a little bit of a problem sometimes. Singles ministries, I think, are a good thing, unless they're used as some sort of quarantine, if you know what I mean. Like, the singles only go to singles ministry, and they don't do anything with the rest of the church, and the rest of the church is not used to seeing those people around. I think that's a little bit dangerous, because the single adults, they're part of the young adults, they're part of the next generation of the church. They will be helping to run the church someday. And if they've never seen the wider church at work, how are they supposed to do that? So I think singles ministries can be good, but you have to be sort of careful about that sort of problem that can arise.
You know, there have been movements, and I guess maybe it's been ongoing, but to break down walls, to sort of integrate the church as a whole body more, as you say, kind of, you know, not segregated out by age or so. Say a bit more about that. What would that look like, I think, maybe in your ideal setting, where there's you're not segregated out in terms of a class or group?
Yeah, I'm not wholly opposed to, like, Sunday school classes by age and so forth, as long as everybody is encouraged to get together for other things. For instance, if people are all encouraged to go and hear the sermon as well. If singles are integrated into things like the choir, I was in the choir at my last church, and that was a great experience because I got to mingle with everybody. I wasn't feeling like I was put in a box by age and marital status. So I'm a great believer in moderation in all things. It's good to let people sort of gravitate together by status and interest and age, that sort of thing, for some things, but I also think it's good to encourage everybody to mingle and push us all out of our comfort zones a little bit.
How do we go about not putting people in a box? I mean, I guess that's maybe not just an issue for, you know, how we look at singles in the church. I mean, we are all pretty easy at labeling, just for maybe simplicity's sake. But what would that look like, do you think, if we were not to put people in a box?
Yeah. Again, it goes back to just our ways of thinking that have been ingrained in us by the church. The church has often been all about supporting marriage and families, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. The danger comes when we start to think that's the only good way to live, and so it begins with just learning to accept each other where we are at our different places in life. Being the married, being willing to listen to the single people being willing to listen to the married people, to accept that there are different experiences and different stages in life out there, and just to reach out to people who aren't completely like you.
How do you look at the word celibacy, maybe compared or contrast with marriage? I mean, just as a single adult, does that word mean, just say a bit more about that.
Well, I think we're seeing a little bit more of the use of the word celibacy lately as opposed to abstinence. I think that's a good thing overall, because abstinence sort of, it has a couple of connotations that it's picked up over the years. When we think abstinence, we think of teenagers because of abstinence education. And also, it makes it sound like our whole life revolves around what we're denied. It's a sort of negative term. Celibacy, I think it just makes a little more sense to talk about that as as a lifestyle that is practiced by many single adults, particularly in the church. And I think the increasing use of that word is a positive development.
The reality is, I think, I know you write for Breakpoint.org, and I had John Stone Street on not too long ago, and he was talking about, you know, so many of our, it seems like, cultural maybe battle lines are drawn around, I think someone described it as pelvic issues. I mean, it's just all, it's all about, it's centered around, you know, attitudes toward sex and sexuality. That's, I mean, that adds to maybe the challenge as a single adult, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, because... I mean, we can expect extremely little sympathy from the wider culture, but that's exactly where the church can step up and be a support to us and remind us that we're doing a positive thing here. And I think when that happens, it helps the singles be a powerful witness to the culture around them, because when we show that with God's help and the church's help, we have the ability to live our lives without this thing that the whole culture is obsessed with, then that's going to look very, very different. And that's maybe going to make people curious about, you know, how we can do that and how we can still live fulfilled lives. And then that, you know, ideally points people to God.
Talking to Gina D'Alfonso today, who serves as editor of Breakpoint.org. It's a project of the Colson Center. And she's also a founder and editor of Dickens Blog. It's a blog about Charles Dickens. She's written for a number of major noteworthy magazines and newspapers, and is on media and joining us today as we talk a little about singles and the church. And we'll get into more on issues of sexuality for today's adult single in the church. I want to talk a little about feminism. We'll even get into talking a bit about country music's view of women, all that coming up. Love to have you join the conversation, too. Maybe you are a single adult and you have a thought or two or experience from your church you'd just like to share about, or have some questions, just like to relate to the conversation. We'd be happy to entertain your call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. And we'll continue with Gina in just a moment. Past the hour, talking today about the singles on Connecting Faith with Gina D'Alfonso, editor of Breakpoint.org, and also writes extensively for Christianity Today and The Atlantic and The Weekly Standard, National Review, and First Things, Guideposts, a number of other publications and newspapers. And joining us today, working on a book on singleness. And we're talking about some of her recent writings, Our Single People, the Lepers of Today's Church. We're inviting your comments, your questions, your interaction at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Gina, just maybe before I go on, I'm just curious. We have the program Breakpoint on every morning here on Faith Radio. So tell me what you're editing at Breakpoint.org. What is that, a online magazine from Breakpoint?
It's a little bit like that. On the site, we have a couple of blogs, and we have longer articles, full-length articles. We have regular columnists. We run movie reviews, book reviews. We even have a page that's just for reviews of young adult books, you know, kids from ages 10 to 18. So we do a little bit of everything, really. We try to do it all from a Christian worldview.
Appreciate so much the good work at Breakpoint and the Colson Center and the legacy of Chuck Colson. So thank you for doing that. We're talking about singleness and the church. I'm interested in your perspective. Are issues for, or maybe the treatment of, single women significantly different than single men in the church today?
That's hard to say because, of course, I'm not familiar intimately with what the single men are experiencing, because obviously I haven't gone through that myself. But you do hear both women and men say that they're having a hard time sometimes. The single men, sometimes they say that people judge them in all sorts of ways for not being married yet, spread rumors about them, all that sort of thing. And then the women come in for their own share of being misunderstood and misjudged sometimes. And, there are experiences for both that are similar in some ways and different in some ways.
Yeah. I'm interested in if your thoughts on, maybe if the quote-unquote empowered woman perspective, plays well in the church. I mean, just has, society has, I guess, one view of how women, should behave and what they can do, and then, maybe the church has a different one. Do you get into discussions about that with your friends from time to time?
Yes, sometimes. There are a lot of good things about the church and its traditionalism. I'm pretty traditionalist in a lot of ways myself, but I think there needs to be room, and this is completely biblical too. I think there needs to be room in the church to recognize all sorts of vocation for women. We don't all have to look the same. We don't all have to live the same way. We don't all have to do the same work. And the Bible gives us templates for that. There women can be, stay-at-home moms. They can be out in the workplace, and they can be glorifying God in both places. There is room for all kinds of women doing all kinds of things. And that is one of the great things that the Bible gives us room to do that, and we need to go by that more, and we need to open up our ways of thinking. So sometimes we get in such a hurry to react to feminism and the bad parts of feminism that we make the pendulum swing to the other side, extremely far to the other side, and we get very narrow in our views, but that's not biblical, and that's not necessary to be a good Christian.
Yeah. Well, speaking of feminism, I know you had an article not too long ago about country music's leading ladies, that they're sort of absent, and that, when you realize that, it's not like it was, several decades ago, and, their only role seems to be to, wear short shorts and bring their guys a beer. I mean, it feels like sort of with the 40 years of the modern feminist movement that, we maybe haven't really changed our behavior across the country.
Well, that's the interesting thing about the post-sexual revolution culture. I mean, it was supposed to open things up for everybody, open things up, sexually, let everybody do their own thing, live however they wanted to. But the more sexually free and liberated, quote-unquote, that we get, the narrower women's roles seem to be. It's a very interesting paradox because the contemporary feminist movement is fighting desperately to hold on both to sexual liberation and to the view of women as strong and independent and able to do anything. But we're not seeing things play out like that. We're seeing women relegated so much more to roles that seem to be all about sex. And so I think Christians have a definite role to play here in just showing that women can be about so much more than that. And when our focus is in the right place, when our focus is on God and being women of God, things start falling into place. We don't have this distorted view of women having to be sexually out there, being promiscuous, having to use that as something to get them ahead.
There have been, some, I guess, attempts at helping young girls to focus on, modesty and sort of use their, I guess, power, if you will. But are you talking about that, or is it about women can be so much more? Say a little bit more about what you see that looking like for today's young single woman.
Well, that's a very complex issue. I don't like to see a distorted focus on sexuality, I don't like to see too much of a distorted focus on modesty. And let me say what I mean by that. For instance, modest is hottest T-shirts that we see everywhere. If you're still talking about what's hot, then you're still just talking about sex. So, I mean, modesty is a good thing, but we're not all about sex. That's the bottom line. If we are dressing and acting and living in a way that shows that we honor God and we have self-respect and we want to be seen as whole people and we see ourselves as whole people, and we want to put out the ideas of dignity and respect for all women, then, again, that in itself sets a great example for the church and for the culture.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, we're bombarded. Media continues to push that 50 Shades of Grey or whatever it is. I mean, it's almost like you are almost forced into a role, right? There doesn't seem to be any other place or position where a woman can use her God-given talents or something.
Yeah, there is some of that going around, and it was a little disturbing to see the popularity of 50 Shades and things like that, where there were just sort of all sorts of wrong things going on with that, because a lot of women tried to argue that it was about power, this woman having the power to change this man who was into some very dark and disturbing things. Well, that's not exactly... whether it's about being a woman making herself a victim or whether she's making herself a victim in order to gain power and control, I mean, there's just nothing there that's really honoring to the role that we're called to play as women. There's nothing about women and men both having dignity and honor and self-respect.
We're going to continue to talk a little bit more about that dignity and honor, self-respect. We'll get into issues of marriage, contentment, loneliness as we talk singles today with Gina D'Alfonso. Gina serves as editor of Breakpoint.org. It's a project of the Colson Center, and she's also the founder and editor of Dickens Blog, a blog about Charles Dickens. She writes extensively for major magazines. And in her spare moments, reads, plays piano, gardens, dances, makes jewelry, and more. And we'll connect with Gina just on the other side of this break. If you have a question or a comment, I'd love to have you join in. Let us know what you're thinking, and maybe you've experienced some singles, church groups. Love to hear about that as well. 877-933-2484 is the phone number. It's 877-93-FAITH. Or if it's more convenient, you can drop us a note. Go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there. You can send us your question or comment that way. And it comes right into the studio, and we'll get to it here in just a moment as we continue on Connecting Faith. Talking singleness today with Gina D'Alfonso, editor of Breakpoint.org. It's a project of the Colson Center. And also, she writes regularly for publications like Christianity Today and the Weekly Standard, National Review, and First Things, Guideposts, The Atlantic, a number of others, newspapers as well. Working on a book on singleness, and recently has written about single people and the church, getting some perspective on that in an age of rising singlehood. Many churches still focused on being family ministry centers, and we're going into that. I want to give a chance for you to respond to Sue's question in Fargo. She called in and asked, it seems like different denominations seem to have different approaches to singles groups, Catholic groups geared toward ages 18 to 30, et cetera. And also she wants to know if small groups in church for singles have been encouraging for people to date as well. So, Gina, maybe just some thoughts about different denominational approaches, or maybe if there's one that maybe works better, and then let's talk dating in the church.
Yes, I think there are a lot of different approaches, maybe almost as many approaches as there are churches. Sometimes they're well thought through, sometimes they're more sort of afterthoughts, which is unfortunate. a lot of churches do pay more attention to the younger single adults than the older ones. And so that makes things especially difficult for the older singles who are in some ways dealing with a lonelier time of life. There are different, I think, legitimate approaches for a church to take, but they need to be well thought through. They can't just be something you throw out there and hope that the singles will go for it. I mean, the churches need to talk to the singles, find out what they need, what would help them, and, you know, how they want to give back to the church. It's not just the support shouldn't just all go one way. It should be a give and take. And just look at the best ways to incorporate the singles into the body of Christ.
Well, you make a good point. It's not just a one-way support. I mean, there are many ways in which singles are perhaps uniquely gifted or equipped to be able to serve and to give, and without maybe some of the family responsibilities. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You mentioned loneliness. I know you've written about that recently. For Christians, you say loneliness must never be an excuse for going against God's revealed will. Instead, we should try to let it draw us closer to Him, and we must never make the mistake of turning marriage into an idol that will grant us all our wishes and keep us from ever being lonely again. To say more about maybe that perspective on loneliness and marriage as a solution.
Yes. I think we've all been affected by the wider culture in so many ways, even if we try not to be, I think. One of the greatest untruths that the culture pushes on us is that you should always make the choice that makes you feel less lonely. So if you have the choice between, say, dating a non-Christian who might want to go farther sexually than you do, sitting home alone wishing you were dating somebody, then you should always make that choice to be with somebody. It's so ingrained in our culture, and I think it's so easy for Christians to fall into that trap because loneliness is the elephant in the room where we're concerned. It's something that churches desperately need to address. And married people deal with it too. I know that. A lot of married people have told me they deal with loneliness too. But singles are dealing with a particular kind of loneliness where a lot of the time there's just nobody there, nobody to share your heart with, and nobody to listen to you, nobody for you to listen to, and that is really hard to deal with. And I think the church's teachings about dating and about courtship over the last several years haven't done us any favors. We have put so many expectations on relationships between men and women, even between teenage boys and girls. A lot of, with the whole I Kiss Dating Goodbye movement, even Josh Harris, the author of that now, has said that it has had results in some ways that he didn't foresee, where you get churches full of single people who are terrified to talk to each other, because if they talk to each other, that might mean that, you know, they're going too far, or they're lusting in their hearts, or if they don't want to marry each other from the first time they talk to each other, then something's wrong. Obviously, those are all extreme reactions and silly reactions, but that way of thinking had a lot of effects that people aren't always aware of, and so we end up with a lot of single people who are who have had difficulty with dating and don't see any way to start up relationships with the opposite sex, and there's a lot of loneliness that goes with that.
I know you've also written too that, I mean, talking about relationships, that, I mean, sacrificial love is open to anyone, right? I mean, this is not just something that can only be expressed in a marriage relationship.
That's right. We've sort of lost sight of the importance of friendship, but it is very, very important, and singles need it, and married people need it too. It's not always recognized, but, I mean, the church, as I said before, is the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the members need each other. The Bible tells us that. And the church was designed for us to have relationships not only with God, but with each other. And so when it's at its best, the church should be a place where people are there for each other, and that includes single people and married people.
Now we're talking a little bit about marriage and kind of our perspective on that. At one of your articles here a while back, you talked about the best Christian marriage book you've never heard of, and we've had Dwight and Margaret Kim Peterson on the program here talking about it, but just maybe say a word about that and how their perspective has maybe helped you and others around you.
Yes, I really enjoyed their book. Their perspective was a very realistic one. I mean, they're very practical, down to earth people. They saw some things going on in the church where there was all kinds of wrong thinking about singleness, dating, marriage, relationships in general, how people should relate to each other. And they set out to try to do something about that. They taught a lot of people. They wrote this book. And it's as much a book about how to live a Christian life as it is about marriage or dating or anything else.
Well, yeah, we have to get back. Sue had asked, I guess, a follow-up, and we didn't really talk much about it, but dating in the church. Just what are your thoughts about maybe just the whole lot of focus today on online, you know, virtual dating?
Online dating, I call it a necessary evil because so many of us that are doing it don't want to be doing it. Ideally, we would be dating within the church or within our groups of friends or whatever. But as I said before, there's so much paralysis, relationship paralysis in the church where the guys and the girls just can't even seem to get relationships going, that oftentimes we turn to online dating as a last resort. And it's really not easy. It has led to some success stories. I know people who have made happy marriages that way, and that's great. But it's very difficult to navigate that online world. Obviously, people are it's difficult to get to know somebody that way. Obviously, people are trying to hide their flaws and put their best foot forward, and it's easier to do that on the Internet, of course. And it's hard, too, to find people who share your values online. There are so many men who call themselves Christian and are looking for premarital sex. And although I can't speak to this out of my own experience, I'm sure that there are women online who are calling themselves Christian and looking for premarital sex, too. It seems like in the online world, it almost seems like the more choices you have, the less choices you have. It doesn't sound like it makes sense, but that's been my experience.
You know, is the issue of relationship paralysis, is that, do you think, just within the church body, or is that maybe in society in general, that we've sort of lost what it means to be in relationship?
Yes, I think a little bit. I think the church and the culture sort of have different problems in that respect. In the culture, you seem to have people who jump into relationships easily, and too often it's focused on the physical right away. And then you get all the problems that go with that. In the church, oftentimes it's hard to get a relationship going at all. for reasons that I touched on a little earlier, I think we came up with, again, in reaction to what was going on in the culture, I think we might have gone too far the other way, and we loaded people down with so many burdens and expectations and you know, everything in your life has to be just so. Everything in your relationship has to be just so. You have to practice this rule and that rule and this other rule. There's a lot of that going on in the evangelical church, more than people realize, I think, sometimes. And so that weighs people down until they're unable to get a relationship off the ground at all.
You know, you mentioned that you look at online dating sort of necessary evil. I guess it maybe wonder about how you look at the the concept of contentment. And, you know, maybe among your single friends, is contentment a point of conversation?
Oh, yes, definitely. For many of us, that's an almost daily battle. Many of us, I would even say most of us, look at marriage as a really good thing and something that we want for ourselves. At the same time, we're in this place where we haven't yet found it, and we don't know if we will ever find it. So we're trying to live contentedly in the now or in the moment while still hoping for that God will give us this other good thing that so many people have that we would like to have too. So you're dealing with this tension all the time. And, I mean, God is the one who gives us contentment, and we just have to keep coming back to him and coming back to him and asking him for that gift, because we really need it, and we it's something that we can't really achieve on our own, especially dealing with the hopes that we have.
And we all have hopes. And the dreams, all we all need points of contentment. And we're talking about particularly about singles in the church today. Inviting your conversation as well. If you have a question or a comment, maybe an experience you want to share, we welcome you to join in the broadcast. It's 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Or, again, you can connect with us online if you want to just leave a question or note that way. You can go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page for the email link there. Talking more with Gina Delfonso in just a moment, editor of breakpoint.org, and she blogs, also founder and editor of Dickens Blog, which is a blog about Charles Dickens, and she's written for Christianity Today and the Atlantic and the Weekly Standard, National Review, and more, and is working on a book on singles in the church and joining us today for our conversation here on Connecting Faith. Jamie Grace there, 47 past the hour. Talking with Gina Delfonso today, who's editor of Breakpoint.org, and you can check that out, Breakpoint.org, project of the Colson Center, founded by Chuck Colson. She writes for magazines like Christianity Today and The Atlantic and The Weekly Standard and more, and newspapers as well, and is joining us today as we talk singles in the church and reacting to some of the conversations she's had on her blogs and writing about that. Frank is one of our regular callers. We were talking a little bit about dating a moment ago, and Frank says, you know, it seems like when you enter into dating in the church, there seems to be gossip and maybe competition. And, well, I guess that maybe gossip is not just isolated to singles, but I'm sure, you know, Gina, you and your friends have maybe dealt with some of that as well.
Well, yes, there is quite a bit of that goes on. As far as competition, I tend to think you're going to get some of that on any dating scene, inside the church or outside the church. And I think we singles do have something of a responsibility there. We have to. I've heard so many single Christians say that the gossip, as you say, and the competition, and the rejection that goes with dating have been such huge problems that they've just given up. Well, I can understand that. I can, but at the same time, I think we have to find the strength to say, you know, I'm going to keep trying even with these, you know, all these obstacles that I have to get through. Because there's always, I mean, dating in many ways is about rejection. I hate to say that, but it's true. And the same for courtship, the same for any sort of way that single people get to know each other, hopefully with an eye towards marriage. There are problems and there are obstacles that go with that. And I think what we need the church to do is, you know, just step up and support us, give us room to talk about these things, to seek out help and guidance. Maybe seek out mentors and people who can push us and say, you know what, yeah, there's gossip and rejection and all this bad stuff. Just, you know, ask God for strength and keep on going. Because it's funny. if you go online and you listen to conversations between singles, all the single guys are saying, or almost all, are saying, no girl will go out with me, and almost all the single women are saying, no guy will ask me out. So obviously we're talking past each other, because there are so many singles who want to date, and somehow they're not dating, and maybe we just need a little bit of guidance from our elders, from people who have been there, to say, you know, just keep trying. Maybe the next woman will go out with you, or you know, keep trying, keep your eyes open for a really nice single Christian men who maybe at first glance they're not who you would pick, but you know, just maybe give them a chance and see what happens. We've gotten so inflexible. we need a little help sometimes in that department.
Yeah. By the way, the book we kind of referenced here a little bit earlier from Dwight and Margaret Kim Peterson is called, I think, Are You Searching for the One? Are You Looking for the One? I think that's what it is, isn't it? It's InterVarsity Press. Mm-hmm. It's a great book. Recommend it. Jeannie has some comments about her experience and about contentment. Jeannie's on line one. Go ahead. You're on with Gina D'Alfonso, Jeannie.
Hey, Gina, I really appreciate what you have to say. And I remember I am married now. We just celebrated our 28th anniversary, but I do recall I married later, and I remember my married friends not even inviting me to their dinner parties, and that was difficult at times. But I think contentment is huge. I think that's huge to run towards the Lord and then look across. And if someone else is running towards the Lord, then maybe that's a relationship to pursue or look into. But I just love what you have to say. I know that our son, when he was in junior high, a good friend of ours was a single male, and he did a great thing by helping mentor our son. And later this man went on to be married and had our son be a part of his wedding. And I have a very dear friend who just amazes me. She's a single woman, and she does so much, and her heart is so strong for the Lord. And now I have a sister who's young and recently widowed, and she's 2 years now single. And, you know, I just hope our whole church can just get together and embrace each other. And mm-hmm. the loneliness thing, I think, is important, what you said, too. So,
Jeannie, thanks.
Anyway, God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your call. Yeah, Gina, I don't know if you've just to react to that. Just, you know, it's being left out is certainly difficult, isn't it? That can be mm-hmm. painful.
Yeah, and well, first of all, let me congratulate Jeannie on her anniversary. That's great. And yes, there is a lot of that sort of thing that goes on. And again, let me stress that I don't think people do it purposely. I don't want to create, you know, I don't want to be accusatory or anything like that. But a lot of times, the single people get overlooked just because the main body of the church, where so many people are married, they're not used to seeing the single people for whatever reason. They're not used to thinking about them. They're not used to reaching out to them. That it just doesn't fit with their way of thinking. So, when the married people make an extra effort to reach out to the single people, that means so much. I mean, of course, singles, we too have to reach out, but a lot of times people don't even notice when we do. So sometimes the married people have to take that on themselves when they can. I mean, we're all busy. We all live in this insanely busy world, but we're part of the body of Christ. We belong to God, and we have to learn to exercise a little concern and care for each other just as he does for us. And Jeannie was talking about knowing people in all different walks of life, married and single, and people learning to help each other. And that's just so fundamental to what the church is supposed to be.
Yeah, I was thinking she also talked about, you know, her son being mentored by a single man. That, you know, that really is it doesn't matter what your marital status is, but that mentoring is really a key part of discipleship anyway, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mentoring is so important. And it can happen officially in mentoring programs, or it can happen unofficially just through a friendship that springs up. But it's such a great thing. And I've just been reading a new book by Lisa Anderson, The Dating Manifesto. It's not actually out yet. I've got an advanced copy. But she tells a story about when she signed up to be mentored in her church. and she is single, and a married woman was going to mentor her, and the married woman was like, I'm really scared of you single people, and she's just sitting there going, what? I mean, we're not scary people. We're not. We're your sisters and brothers in Christ, and so we have that in common to start with, and there is nothing to be scared of. You may live a very different lifestyle, but we both have a lot to teach each other, and the single people have a lot to learn from the married people, and we're ready and willing to learn it.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, that's an interesting word, scared. I mean, what is it that we seem like we, I mean, is it, we were all single at one point ourselves, right? Why should it be so frightening? Yeah?
Well, I think in different ways, we all tend to deal with inferiority complexes. I mean, the singles start to feel inferior because everybody else has the spouse and the children and the pets and the white picket fence and all the rest of it. I mean, they're having what you're supposed to have in life. And the married people, I sometimes, from talking to and listening to some of them, I think sometimes they think that we're living these, you know, these great lives of freedom and doing whatever we want, which, by the way, is not actually true, but that's what a lot of people think about us. And so we deal with these stereotypes of each other instead of actually dealing with each other as people. And we need to learn to get past that and just start realizing that everybody's life has its rough spots. Everybody has problems, and we all have a little something to learn from each other.
One of our callers, Johnny, had just talked about those with disabilities. I mean, we're pretty easy at excluding anybody that's different from us in any way, I guess, whether single or disabled or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and I think in some ways that does come back to fear, you know, fear of not knowing what to do, what to say, how to help, how to relate. And, you know, I think every one of us has dealt with that sort of fear at one point or other. But we just, if we don't try, then we're never going to get anywhere. And I think we ask God for the strength and the courage to maybe reach out to somebody who's a little different from us and just say, you know, how are you doing? How are things going? Is there anything you need? You know, how can I be a friend? We need to learn to serve each other just as Christ gave us the example of doing.
Yeah, that's a good word for us, regardless of our situation. I mean, learn to be a friend and serve one another. Gina, if people want to follow some of your writing, what's the best way to just kind of keep up with what you're doing?
Well, you're all welcome to come and visit breakpoint.org.
Okay.
I'm writing on there practically every day on the blog, and we have a lot of great writers there. And also you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is just my name, Gina D'Alfonso. And whenever I write something, or almost every time I write something new, like a freelance article or something, I post a link there. So that's a good way to keep up.
Okay. Check it out at breakpoint.org. Gina D'Alfonso is editor at breakpoint.org, and she writes regularly there, as well as the founder and editor of Dickens Blog. We didn't talk about that, a blog about Charles Dickens, but encourage you to just check out her writing and engage in the conversation with her. Gina, thank you so much for coming on today and giving us some good perspective.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Gina D'Alfonso joining us today on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show today, or maybe you want to share it with a friend, all our interviews are posted online after the show, and they're all easily shareable. So you can go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page for the podcast archives. And thanks for listening.